right. We're going to start a new series this new year, and it's a brand new series, and it's called Brand New. Okay, all right. Anyway, I didn't think that was going to go very far. I tried that in the Dream Team huddle this morning. It didn't work there either. But anyway, before we get into the new series, let me just say I'm so excited about what God is doing around here. And honestly, powerful things are happening in this place. And if you're missing it, you're missing it. Lives are being changed. In the last year and a half, we've had more people come to Christ than in the history of this church. So excited about that. If you don't get excited about that, you don't have a pulse. I'm just saying. I mean, that is what it's all about. And just powerful things. And I think sometimes we got to watch what we focus on. Sometimes we look to see this multitude of faceless harvest. But let me tell you something. The harvest is made up of individuals. And what I get excited about is people, individuals, that are having their lives changed. And I also get excited about having people around me that it gets excited about one person's life being changed. When I see that, I say we're on the right track. Actually, we had an event some years ago, and you know, where we were having people that were, you know, all about the harvest. And then one day we decided we would go into the harvest. And well, when the harvest came, guess what? The people came, and there were some individuals that showed up. And there were some faces put on that wheat. You know, in the Bible, we use terms like harvest, and it really means people. And so those people show up and they've actually got faces. And guess what? Those faces have issues, you know? There's issues in those lives. And I remember I had to have some one-on-one conversations with some people because they didn't want to deal with all these problems and these issues. And I'm saying, that's what this thing is all about. This isn't about a faceless harvest. It's about individual lives. And I want to tell you, individual lives are happening right here. If you don't believe, just come see me. I'll share some great, phenomenal stories that are happening around here. And I'm telling you, I'd love to put together a video, just share with you some of the things. We're planning on doing that, just sharing some testimonies, some things that are happening, and let you hear it in their words of the life change that's happening in their lives. So really excited about those things. And let me just say, for those of you that are coming in here and being having your lives changed and are committing to Christ, and there's been many people that have committed, let me encourage you to do a few things this year. Number one, I'm going to encourage you to be water baptized. There's some next steps. In fact, today's a great day. Look, here's the deal. You may say, well, I didn't come prepared. Well, guess what? You got wet coming in here, right? Well, some of you did, or you know. So what's the difference? You're going to leave wet when you leave, right? Just a little more wet. We're going to have water baptism at the conclusion of this service. And I want to encourage you to do that. I mean, it's the wedding band of your salvation. You know, put that on. And it doesn't save you. But it's saying to the world, it's saying to everyone, I'm acknowledging that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. It's a public declaration. I want to encourage you in that. And also a second thing I want to encourage you to do, and that is join a church. It doesn't have to be this one, but join a church. If you've committed to Christ, and I know there have been people that have come here, committed to Christ, and they've gone to other churches, and they've joined it, and I celebrate that. But get involved somewhere, and wherever you go, man, do everything. I mean, if there's a program that's going on, get into it, do it. You know, don't be reluctant and stiff arm things. Come on, just get involved and get. And I'm telling you, it will change your life if you just go all in and go all out. I'm telling you, it's the people that really get on the playing field of life that enjoy the game. You don't enjoy the game sitting on the sideline and looking in and being the sideline quarterback, right? I tried to do that this week. It didn't work out too well. Never mind. We won't talk about Florida State, I promise. But anyway, moving on. Somebody said we won't talk about Alabama either. Sorry, I had to throw that out there. But really, I want to encourage you in that. Let me mention a third thing that I'd like to challenge you to do at the beginning of this year, and that is that beginning of each year, we're doing 21 days of prayer. And it isn't just us alone. There are thousands of churches and thousands of people that are joining on this time frame of this first 21 days of this year. Actually, we're starting today. And it's going to go from January the 4th through January the 24th. 21 days, 3 weeks. And if you've never done an extended fast, I want to encourage you. Different people fast different ways, different things, and it's between you and God. But all I'm trying to get you to do is set the world aside, set the things aside that distract you at the beginning of the year, and let God know He's first in your life. And I'm going to tell you, the way you start out your day will affect your day. The way you start out your year will affect your year. And when you put Him first and foremost in your life, I'm telling you, your life is going to change. And so here's what we're going to do. Every day of the week, Monday through Friday, we're going to be having a prayer service that meets here at 7 o'clock sharp and ends at 7 o'clock sharp. We say sharp because we want you to know that you can come here and you can be on your way and about your day. I know you have other responsibilities. I'm a bivocational pastor. I've been allowed by the grace of God to adjust my schedule, so I'll be here with you. It's going to begin at 7 to 8. We're going to be live streaming with another churches. What's going to be an encouragement is that when you get here real early, you're going to see that there are thousands of other people that have got up actually a lot earlier than you. The hosting church starts at 6 o'clock, and we're going to join with them, and you're going to hear a phenomenal devotion. You're going to hear in 15 minutes a sermon, like a sermonette, really, and it's just going to encourage you, and then we're going to have 30 minutes of just praying on your own and just interceding, and then we're going to come back together at the end of that 30 minutes and have another 15 minutes of a closing prayer, and that's going to how the hour works. It's phenomenal. We're going to have worship during that time. A lot of music will be being played. We'll be standing here worshiping. It's going to be a full one-hour service. It's going to be phenomenal. That's Monday through Friday, again, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and then on Saturdays, each Saturday, from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock. So I really want to encourage you to be with us for that. If you can't physically get here, there are ways that you can live stream that. You can go online, and we'll give you some information about how you can live stream that, and wherever you are, you can connect with us that way. But I really want to encourage you, because here's the deal. We are on a spiritual journey together, and I feel like it's my responsibility to help guide you and just to give direction of just how that happens, because spiritual growth doesn't just happen by accident. There are things that we need to do that God calls us to do that we need to step into. He gives us opportunities to step into these things. And when we step into these things that God affords us to do, it causes us to grow. And here's what I want us to see right up front in this series. And that is that God has a vision for your life. God has a vision for your life. He has a picture of really what your life is. Should look like. And I want us to look in Revelation, and it's there in you have message notes in your worship guide. Always also up here on the screen that you can look at as well. Or you can open your Bibles and turn with me. And it's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And here's what we have a picture of. One day we're going to stand before God, and here's what's going to happen. It says that He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain. Get what he says here. For the old order of things has passed away. Now, he refers to the fact that there is an old order. And we're going to see here in a moment that that old order really doesn't really work. But God wants to create a new order. He wants to create something new in our life. Because he goes on to say, and I believe this is what's going to happen when we stand before him one day, we're going to hear these words. It says that he who was seated on the throne said, he's going to look at us and he's going to say, I am making everything new. Everything new. And I just love that word new. I used to dread mornings because I hate getting up in the morning, but now I've come, as I've gotten older, I've come to recognize I love mornings, because mornings just have this fresh new beginning. You know, there's sometimes at the end of the day, you get to the point where you got to just say, okay, this one's gone. Let's put this one to bed. Let's try again tomorrow. But I'm glad we get new beginnings and new starts at the beginning of the day. Well, guess what? Everybody likes something new. We like you know, new things. We like a new year. We like the smell of a new car. We all like something new. But the big reveal is this, and that is that very few people really experience new. Because here's the fact. I believe that God doesn't just want to wait until we get to heaven to make all things new. I believe God wants to make all things new in your life now. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he said, behold, I make all things new. And when we accept him into our heart, he makes all things new. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So you don't have to wait to stop crying until you get to heaven. Come on. You can have joy in your life now. And I grew up listening to some older saints when I was a young teenager who would get up, we'd have these testimony services. And some of them were more of a, it was kind of testifying how good the devil, I mean not how good, but how bad the devil been to them all week, you know. And the devil's been after me this week, y'all pray for me somehow, some way, somehow. I remember this old guy, old timer, he used to always pray, some way, somehow, Lord, oh, some way, somehow. And I thought he was about to die. I don't know what was wrong with him. It's like, I just want to, God, somehow, I just want to make it over to the other side. Here's the thing, I don't think God wants us to just drudge through this life and barely make it and then get on the other side and then there's rejoicing. I believe that rejoicing can happen right here and right now. If anybody believes that, come on, rejoice with me, right? Jesus came to make all things new. But I believe our approach to God, oftentimes we approach Him, we don't approach Him with this concept of new. I think oftentimes we approach Him with, well, God, I guess you're going to come into my messed up life and you're going to make some improvements, you're going to make, you know, you're going to improve some things. But no, the fact of the matter is God comes to make all things new. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that He has come to make all things new. New. I heard one pastor say, look, God doesn't just come to make you a better person, that you are a bad person and wants to make you a good person. No, you are a dead person and God came to make you alive. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses. I mean, God wants to come and bring real life change and He wants to make all things new. I just think we have oftentimes failed to approach God in the right way. And that's why, really, our resolutions fail. We know we always make these New Year's resolutions. And it's really an attempt to improve. You know, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, and but they don't work. And statistics show they don't work. In fact, statistics tell us that 80% of resolutions fail by Valentine's Day. That's about 6 weeks. I mean, they just don't work. The reason is, we're not new. And we need to become new. When we become new, everything changes. But when we're this, the old self, trying to improve, it never does work. And I've shared this with you, I think, a couple of years ago, and I thought this was good to pull out again. I think this is really good. Just to show you how our resolutions don't work. This is kind of the way we think. Resolution number one is that, you know, in 2013... Our New Year's resolution was, I'm going to read at least 10 books this year. All right, I'm going to read at least 10 books this year. But in 2014, we changed that. We said, I will finish the last book I started. Right? And so that didn't work out. So this year we say, I will try and finish the comic section this year in the paper. Right? Right? I mean, that's kind of the way that goes. The next resolution is, in 2013... Did I mess you up there? I messed him up. This resolution says, I will work out 5 days a week. Thank you, Theron, for working with me. In 2014, I will work out 3 days a week. In 2015, I'm going to drive by the gym at least once a week. Come on. And then here's resolution number three. I will pay off my bank loan this year. That's what we said in 2013. In 2014, says, I will pay off my bank loans. We add an S to it. You notice that? And then in 2015, I will be out of the country by the end of the year. You know what I mean? Come on. That's me. I'm gone. Okay, all right. So, but why? Why does this not happen? Well, we've taken the old you and we've tried to improve it, and it just doesn't work. You know, you've heard the phrase, new and improved. You know, when they come out with a product, it's new and improved. Well, no, that doesn't make sense. It's not new if it's improved, you know? And so sometimes are we trying to improve or are we looking for things to be new? I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love the way the Living Bible puts this. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, we could just stop right there. When someone becomes a Christian, what does that mean? When someone becomes a Christian, he begins to do religious things. When someone becomes a Christian, he goes to church. When someone becomes a Christian, he tithes and he has, you know, participates in communion and he's baptized. But no, it's more than that. Now those things happen, but it's more than that. Look at what the scripture says here. It says when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. That's really what happens. You don't just start doing things on the outside that makes you a Christian. It's that something takes place on the inside. And it says he is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. I'll give you another statistic. It said that 78% of Christians that are wearing, there's 78% of Christians in America that are wearing the label Christian. But only 7% of that 78% say that because of their Christianity, their life has changed. And I'm just going to tell you, there's something really wrong with that. Because when you become a Christian, there's got to be a change. Because it's not about the external change. You don't just change things on the outside and experience the change. It's something happening on the inside. And let me put it to you this way. You don't need a resolution. You don't need a New Year's resolution. What you need is a revolution. You've heard this. I know it's a little cliche, but it's true. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to turn over a new life, right? We need things to change completely. And so you can approach life in three ways. And this is there in your notes. Let me give this to you. And that is, you could be changing outside in or changing inside out. You could be changing outside in. In other words, I'm going to change my habits. I'm going to change my schedule. You know, I'm going to try to not spend as much this year. I'm not going to eat chocolate this year. You know, I'm going to try to change me. And that doesn't work. Or you could change from the inside out. And from the inside out means that you got to start with that that's spiritual on the inside. We're spiritual beings. Start from the inside and allow God to come in on the inside and do life change on the inside. In other words, instead of starting with yourself, you start with God. That's where we need to start. We start with God and we allow Him to change us from the inside out. Let's approach it another way. Are we doing something different or are we trying to do something different? Are we trying to make something happen and do something different and change our behavior? Or are we being someone different? Right? Are we doing something different or are we being someone different? Put it to you a third way, and that is, are we improving the old you? Are you improving the old you? Or are you becoming a new you? Becoming a new you. And the way that we're going to experience change this year, if last year things didn't change for you, it's another year where nothing changed. Let me tell you, what will change is when things change spiritually in your life. Because if your spiritual man changes on the inside, it has the power to change every other area of your life. So instead of trying to go around and changing this and correcting this and changing that behavior, if we change the core of who we are, in other words, we have a spiritual change on the inside, everything becomes new. And so we need a new faith. We need our faith renewed. We need a new faith in God that's not the old way of approaching things, but a new way of approaching. And it's all seen in the covenant, in the old covenant. In the Old Testament, let me just paint this out for you a little bit. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was that there would offer a sacrifice. They would offer an animal, and that animal would cover the sin. They would come in, they'd have to kill an animal, and the death of that animal, the blood of that animal would cover that sin. But it never did take care of the guilt. The guilt remained. You know, you did all that, but it was external activity that you did, but there was never anything right that had changed on the inside. There were laws that you were to follow, and there were external laws on a tablet, and they would try to follow those, but it never did work. It was external, and there was never that change on the inside. And Hebrews talks about this in Hebrews chapter 10. Really goes into depth explaining all this. Just trying to simplify it for you. But here's what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 16 says. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. He says, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. So no longer are the laws hanging on a wall, but now it's inside of them. So in other words, God's saying, it's not a matter of me telling you to do right. Rather, I'm going to change you on the inside and you're going to become right. There's a difference. It's not just about following the Bible and a set of rules, but now, get this, folks, now the Word of God lives inside of us and you become its desires. You want to do the right thing. That God's Word comes inside of you and it becomes a part of who you are and it changes who you are from the inside out. Let me just put it to you this way. If you're trying to follow this thing called Christianity, you're trying to do all these right things, and it's very, very hard, and you just can't seem to live the right life, you can't seem to follow all these rules, you just keep messing up, and it may be that you're doing it the wrong way. It may be that you need a change on the inside, that you're trying to follow a set of rules that's external, and it's not in you yet. But when it's in you, there's this delight that you want to live that way. You accept Jesus in your heart and you fall in love with Him and you have your relationship with Him and His Spirit comes inside of you and you have this new nature that enables you and empowers you to have the nature of Christ and follow that nature. Anybody getting this? Isn't this good stuff? And then he adds this. He says, again, it's not about you doing right, but it's about becoming right. And he adds this. He says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. And so God is saying, I'm going to give the ultimate sacrifice of my Son, Jesus Christ, and we accept Him, this new covenant, and He comes to live inside of us. Here's what happens. Even our conscience is changed. Because, listen, the old law couldn't cleanse the conscience of the worshiper. How does that happen? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 again, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. That's that veil we talked about. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now everything's changed because of this new covenant. And it tells us, it goes into this thing of telling us what we need to do. And in this scripture, we actually see this phrase, let us. Look at there where it's first mentioned. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us, and there's four times this word let us. And I want us to look at that, and actually this is just a little four-part outline right here that's right here in the scripture. Didn't have to write it myself, it's right here. There's four lettuces. All right, four heads of lettuce. Are y'all getting this? Y'all have no sense of humor in 2015, or I don't have, I don't know. So there's four lettuces, all right? So look at this. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. That's able to cleanse our conscience. And having our bodies washed with pure water. And what is he saying there? He's saying, let us draw close. In 2015, what we need to be doing, come on, folks, let us draw close to Jesus. Let us passionately, intimately go after a loving relationship with our God. Let's pursue Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Let us go after God. That's really what He's saying. And let us get close. And I love this. I've heard it said in this place, you can get as close to God as you want to. You can get as close to God as you want to. You know what? You draw close to God, the Bible says that He will draw close to us, so get close to God. And then he goes on to say, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And what he's saying, this let us is let us hold to the promises of God. In other words, what he's talking about here is the Word. So in 2015, what we need to do is we need to get into the Word of God. Listen, folks, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive. It has the power to change you. Hebrews chapter 4 says it has the power to come in and do surgery in our life, the Word of God. And the fact of the matter is, and this really hit me real hard as I was studying this morning on this one point, and that is that we are so bombarded with so much information. We are in information overload from every avenue of social media to people around us, and we hear stuff all day long. We're bombarded with stuff. And I want to tell you, if you don't have the Word of God in you to balance that out, you're going to sink. I'm telling you, we need the Word of God. And I think that a lot of times our problem is that we have been so overrun with information, and yet the Word of God is just a trickle in our life. I don't know who this is for today, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit gave me witness this morning that this is for somebody today. And I don't say that often. The Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to tell us in 2015, we need to get back into the Word of God, and we need to daily be in the Word of God. So let us, what is he saying there? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he is faithful who's promised. So we need to hold on to the promises of God. And then he goes on to another let us. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And so he's saying here, let us live our life for others. And if you ever want to experience spiritual growth, you're going to have to quit living your life for yourself and start living for others. And the day that you start living your life for others, I want to tell you, you're going to grow spiritually. And then there's another one. It's not there in your message notes, but we have it up here for you on the screen. Verse 25, the fourth let us. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And what he's saying is here, you could be doing all these things, but if you're not careful, you can be leaving out an important piece of the puzzle. And that piece of the puzzle is that you need to be in relationship with other people. And what I'm pointing to here is small groups. You need to get into a small group. You need to have some relationship where people can pour into you and into your life. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to change your life. So these four points that I've laid out for you, I want to present to you again in the form of a question as we evaluate our life for 2015. If we're growing spiritually, we're going to have to have change on the inside. And when that happens, every area of our life is going to be impacted. All the resolutions that we want to make, they'll be taken care of when change happens on the inside. And I've said this before, said this last year, if this is the best year of your life spiritually, it'll be the best year of your life. Only if it's the best year of your life spiritually, right? Right? I mean, your spiritual life dictates everything. And I'm going to give you this reminder again. We are not temporary. We are not in this temporary spiritual experience, having this earthly experience. And you know what I'm saying? We are eternal spiritual beings having a temporary earthly experience. Right? Not the other way around. And we need to understand that spiritual will dictate everything. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What that means is the God in you, that spirit, that God that resides in that spiritual part of you, listen, has the power to take care of everything else in your life. Amen? Come on, that's good news. That's good news. And so here's the four questions I want to present to you. If it's saying that we need to draw near to God, we need to ask these questions. If God wants me to draw near, then ask this question. Number one, am I worshiping intimately? Am I worshiping intimately? Well, what is worship? Well, is that just singing songs on Sunday morning? No, it's much more than that. It's when you're in a relationship with God and you know Him intimately. You know Him. He knows you. You're best friends. and you know him intimately. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 4. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And I've presented this before, but that word worship actually is the word proskuneo, which actually means to kiss. And it's not like you're kissing your husband or your wife, but more like a dog who's happy to see you, and they come up and they just can't get enough of you, and they just don't want to lick you all over. That's the kind of word that is. That God wants you to be so in love with him that when you get here on Sunday morning, I mean, it's like, come on, it's on. It's game day, everybody. Am I the only one here excited about serving Jesus? I mean, come on. I mean, we need to be all in, you know? I think God deserves more than the right over left hand deal, you know? I just do. I just do. He died on the cross for us. Man, he rose again. He's coming again. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been having to remind myself of that lately, you know, because that's why the Bible says we're to rejoice over. We've had some things happen that's hit us from every side, and I have to try and go, but my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know? That's what we're supposed to rejoice over. And we need to come in here and be, I mean, even on Sunday morning, and it's not just about Sunday mornings, in every area of our life, but on Sunday morning, it's game day. We need to be worshiping God with all everything we've got. You know, I heard of one guy who was so nervous about raising his hands in church, and he decided on the way to church, he was driving, and he said, I'm going to raise my hands today in church. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And for some of us, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Now, for if you're like me, I was raised up in a church that we were all about that. I mean, you know, we were whoop, 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 you know. I mean, we just did it, you know. I mean, it was like, I'm sorry, I saw too much Tim Hawkins this week. But anyway, but you know, we have people that, you know, it's very difficult. And I heard this guy saying he decided he's going to raise his hand. And when he first decided he was going to raise his hand, he got a little foot back, pat his foot a little bit. He's looking around, make sure nobody's looking. Got a little sway going on. Then you know, he decided, whoop, raised it. I did it. And then you may have to, now I'm going to go into Tim Hawkins. Can I go into Tim Hawkins for just a minute? You know, you may have to start with carrying the TV. You know, just carry the TV. You know, nobody can see that. Just carry the TV. But eventually you graduate touchdown, right? Y'all are quiet this morning. None of this is working today. I don't know what it is. Y'all just staring. Are y'all tired? Is it, you know, it's New Year hangover? What is this? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But really, we need to worship God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. James 4 and 8 says this, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So the Father is looking for worshipers. He's not looking for church attendance. He's not looking for tithes or to be baptized. Hey, look, he wants people to fall in love with him and passionately and affectionately go after him. Draw near to God, and he will come near to you. And then next, let us go on to the promise of God. What is it saying there? The second question we need to ask is, am I feeding daily? Am I feeding daily? Am I partaking of his word? Joshua 1:8 says this, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. If you'll follow God's word, look what happens. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Meditate it. We need to be in His Word every day. Here we are at the beginning of the year. This is a great time to be talking about this. And that is, we need to have a plan. We need to have a Bible reading plan every day. Many of you have that. Some of you don't. You need to get it. You need to get into the Word every day. I mean, what do you look like when you don't eat? Malnourished after a period of time, right? Well, guess what? Some of us are malnourished spiritually, and we wonder what's wrong. And what happens is we start pointing at everybody else, saying, well, that person and that thing and that job and my parents and my history and my environment and my income and my situation and all this stuff. Well, no. The problem is we need to get into the Word of God and get strong. We need to look in the mirror and say, oh God, and what is the mirror? The mirror is God's Word. That's what James says. He says, we look into the Word of God, and it reflects, it shows us things, it reveals us things, it'll change us, it'll feed our life. I'm telling you, I don't know why but I feel like God really wants me to stress this point. We've got to get into God's Word, right? And that doesn't just mean coming on Sunday morning and watching and seeing the net message notes up here and all this stuff. No, what we're talking about is every day of your life you need to be feeding. The question is, am I feeding daily? Am I feeding daily? Psalm 119 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So we're saying, I will not take a step until I know what you think about it, God, what you think about it first. And so if you want this new and living way on the inside, we must let us draw near, let us hold on to God's promises, and let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Now, this one will shock you. But if you ever get on a team and serve, it'll change your life. I mean, it's one thing to sit on the sidelines, but it's another to get in the game. And when you get in the game, it's fun. And I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy life. And so I want to encourage you. I mean, get on the dream team. Today, we're offering Church 101. It'd be a beautiful day to come and just get in on what we're doing as a church and go through the growth track. We've had several just recently. They've gone through that and completed that and now on the team. And the ones I see growing, listen to me now, the ones I see growing, the ones I see with positive attitudes, the ones I see that are just full of faith and excitement are the ones, come on, that have got on the dream team. They're serving. They're focused on others. They're other-oriented. And guess what? Their life is changing. Their life is changing. So get on a team and serve. Help us on Sundays, and you'll discover something. It does more for you than it does for the other people that you're serving. It does. And so do something for other people. I mean, open up your home. Be willing to open up a small group. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Number three, am I serving faithfully? Have I found a place to serve? Am I serving faithfully? I'm on a team. Am I serving? 1 Peter 4 says this, each one of us, I'm going to stress that, each one of us. I'd love to just call it every one of us, but same thing. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. For some of us, that means we're going to sweep floors. Others are going to lead small groups. Some are going to park cars. Some's going to play a guitar. But whatever your gift is, you have a gift. And I'm going to go as far as to say this in a gentle way, but every time you choose not to use it, it affects all of us. We need your gift. And we've got some things working around here, but it would work a lot better with you. Come on. Can I get a good amen right there? Thank you. And the final let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let me just say this. On February the 1st, we're going to launch small groups for the spring semester. And you need to commit to a group. We need to commit to a group. You need to be in a group where people know you, they know your name, they're praying for you every day by your name, where some people can ask some tough questions, where you can share some secrets and problems and be accountable and deal with real issues. Some of us have real issues. Some of us have addictions that you're not telling anybody about. And I would tell you, you need to get into a small group. When you get, it's God's design for you to get into a small group. If you want to grow on the inside, this is God's system. It's connecting us to others, and when we do that, we're going to experience healing. I'm just trying to help us, guys. I'm just giving you a prescription of how you're going to grow this year and how life is going to change and how you're going to experience something new. If you want to grow on the inside, if you want things to be new, you got to ask this question. Am I worshiping intimately? Am I feeding daily? Am I serving faithfully? And let me give you the scripture before I give you this last blank to fill in. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. When you're ministering to others, you're going to be healed. And I believe you cannot survive if you don't connect. I believe that. And so that last point is, am I connecting regularly? Am I connecting regularly? Dwayne, would you help me close out? I've just given you a prescription for spiritual growth. And I dedicate this message to those who are frustrated with another year and no change. And I'm telling you, this is the Word of God that I've shared with you today. And if we'll do these things, our life is going to change. But if you won't change, the most important change takes place on the inside. It's your spirit. Some of us need to commit. Some of us need to be, go all in, go all out. Be baptized. Join a church. Get on a team. Serve. Let us do these things. And when we do, our life's going to change. From the inside out. And I'm telling you, it's not going to change from the outside in. Go ahead. Make all the New Year's resolutions you want to make. Try to make all the changes you want to make and think that's going to fix things. Knock yourself out. But unless it changes on the inside, you're not going to change. And the problem may not be who you think it's with. Well, God, if you just change my wife, if you just change my husband, if you just change my employer, or if you just change my pastor, or if you just change, my kids, if you just change this or that, and I'm telling you, some of our addictions are, it has nothing to do with the outside, it's inside. Some of us are addicted to bad attitudes. We wake up every morning and we think the same way we've always thought. What do you need? You need to be a new person. And I can't do that because I can't get on the inside of you. But God, if you'll allow Him on the inside of you, He'll change you from the inside out. And when that happens, I'm telling you, your whole world's going to change. That's what I hope and that's what I want for you. Come on, guys. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some of us need to make some decisions today. It's to stop fixing things on the outside and just open our heart on the inside and let God come in and make everything new. He can do it. If we'll allow Him to do it. All this begins with a relationship with God. We need to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Decide to change directions and follow God. And sometimes God has us walk in new ways that we've never walked before. Unfamiliar territory. What does that mean? That means when you get up in the morning, you're not going to think the same way you've been thinking for years and doing things the same way you've been doing. God changes you from the inside and you have a whole different perspective. And that affects everything you do because it's new on the inside. I want to give an opportunity to the Holy Spirit to knock on the door of your heart today. Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you right now, would you just, in your own gentle way, would you come? Sometimes we've got that thing fixed in our mind that is the problem, and that thing is not it at all. So let us not be blinded by that thing. Change us, Lord. Change our heart. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to hearts right now. For those of you that need to make a decision of really declaring Him as Lord of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer. I just want to help you with the words. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you'd like to make a decision for Christ today, I'm not asking you to stand or come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to simply lead you in a prayer. If that's you today, and you need to pray this prayer, right where you're sitting while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Today I'm going to make that decision. As you pray, lead me in this prayer. If that's you, you just slip up a hand and put it right back down. Today you're tired of following your own way, but you're saying, today, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Come on, have the boldness and the courage. If you're here today and you need to make a decision, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm simply going to lead you in this prayer. Just slip up a hand and put it right back down if that's you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in your name, I pray for every person in this place that needs to pray this prayer. They would simply open their heart and say these words to you out of faith. Lord Jesus, today, I invite you in my life. I turn from my way to your way and I follow you wholeheartedly. Come into my life today. By faith, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I accept what you did by paying for my sins on the cross. And I declare you as the Lord of my life. With all my heart, I will follow you. Today, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life today. In Jesus' name.